All right. While people are settling in, I'll just, kind of welcome everyone. Welcome to your first session of Build 2015. Is everyone excited to be here?
Yeah.
Did everyone enjoy the keynotes?
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you something. There's nothing that I like more than coming on stage and follow a HoloLens demo. Was it only me, or did everyone think that they were all going to get a HoloLens?
Yeah.
Such that's Alex Kipman classic. I tell you something, though. If all of you were wearing HoloLens, this would look a lot more interesting than it is going to be. So anytime you think you're getting bored, just imagine, be the creative Windows developers. Anyway, I'm going to start off by asking you guys a question. Show of hands, how many of us developers like to write applications that nobody wants to use? A few. How many of us wish that the apps would just sit in the user's app folders and get no engagement from the users? No? How many would change your answer if the user actually paid for the app and you got some money? Oh, that's a bunch of greedy bastards. The reality is, it's not surprising. There are very few things that are more satisfying for a developer than knowing that their product is being engaging for the users and giving them value. The more you know about the user, the more you can give them value. The more you know and understand how you can provide more value to the users. But with so many applications competing for the user's attention on the phones, it's a big challenge to differentiate your app and get your app to shine through. My name is Ali, and I'm joined by Tony Andrews. Everyone say hi, Tony.
Hi.
And today we're going to talk about how integrating with Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health is going to allow your applications to be more differentiated and allow those applications to stand out. A mandatory slide that has been sneaked into my slide deck. Everyone, please submit an evaluation after the breakout session. This is really helpful for us and people who are actually organizing this to get more feedback. Thank you. So let's talk about quickly what's on the menu for the next 60 minutes. How many of you guys here have a Microsoft Band? Oh, brilliant.
Great.
So that pretty much the first part is useless now. Anyway, I'll still talk about Microsoft Band, Microsoft Health, just to give you an overview of the cool technology, because people are going to be watching this afterwards as well, all the features that we've built. Then we're going to talk about how you as developers can engage with Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health. In between, Tony is going to help me do some demos, and at the end, we'll have some time for questions and answers. So what is Microsoft Band? Microsoft Band is an all-day wearable device which was built with a few key principles in mind. It was designed to give you features that are going to help you live healthier. It was also designed to help you be more productive and keep you connected at a glance without having to reach for your phone throughout the day. These challenges, coupled with the challenges of making something that is flexible in a slim form factor and is all-day wearable, resulted in a product that is a combination of advanced technology and great engineering. Microsoft Band has 10 sensors packed into a very small form factor. It also has a full-touch display, and it has been optimized for battery life to give you over 2 days of normal use on a single charge. Let's talk a little bit about the features of Microsoft Band. Microsoft Band is far beyond your average run-of-the-mill step tracker. What makes Microsoft Band unique is that it calculates your activity level, your heart rate metrics, as well as your sleep patterns to give you a holistic picture of your health and fitness. How does it do that? So it starts off by tracking your steps, calories, runs, workouts, and all the other exercises that you do throughout your day. And when you go to sleep, Microsoft Band tracks your sleep duration, sleep efficiency, and things like your resting heart rate to understand more about your sleep. And while it does all of that in the background, with guided activities and custom activities, Microsoft Band proactively tailors your fitness routines to your needs and goals and essentially acts like a fitness coach on your wrist. Productivity and connectivity are pillars that drive all the user engagement with the Microsoft Band. What makes the Microsoft Band unique in this front is that it gives you the right amount of information and it gives it to you when you need it the most. So things like incoming calls, SMS, social media updates, nearby weathers, keep you connected to things that you care about the most. And with emails and calendar alerts, you know what to do and where to be even when you're on the move. And if you're a user of Windows, we bring Cortana, which is your personal assistant, right on your wrist. All the data collected by Microsoft Band goes up to the Microsoft Health Service, and it comes down in forms of rich graphs and charts and trends that give you a detailed view of your health. Those charts and graphs, combined with the on-band features that we just talked about, we feel that Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health give you a holistic solution for health, fitness, and connectivity. So that was a bit about the Microsoft Band, Microsoft Health. And while these features are great and are first-party experiences that sell a lot of lots of bands and drive a lot of user engagement with the Microsoft Band, I wouldn't be standing here if that's all that we did. Soon after we shipped Microsoft Band, Microsoft Health, we started looking in ways in which we could bring third-party developers to come on board and engage with Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health. So today we're going to talk about all the different ways in which you can engage with the Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health ecosystem. I'm going to start off by the first offering in this space, which is the Microsoft Band SDK. The purpose of the Microsoft Band SDK is to open up the Microsoft Band to third-party developers to extend and enhance the experience of their applications with the Microsoft Band. So essentially, in a nutshell, what the Microsoft Band SDK does, like all other SDKs, it basically abstracts the communication protocol between the phone and the band and exposes the Microsoft Band as a programming object. So as developers, all you need to do is drop in a few namespaces, create a band client, and you should be good to go. Once you do have a band client, there are a few main ways in which you can interact with the Microsoft Band. You can stream data from the Microsoft Band sensors. You can also create your own tile and send content into those tiles. And you can also personalize and customize the Microsoft Band. And we're going to talk today about all of those things in more detail in a little bit. But before that, I want to make one big important point. Like all or most other wearables in this category, Microsoft Band does not provide a hosted application platform. What that really means is it's an extensibility model, so you always have to have an application running on the host, and then you can use the Microsoft Band as a rich input device as well as an auxiliary display. So let's talk about the first thing. Once you have a band client, what are the first things that you can do? Let's start off with sensors. So Microsoft Band SDK, as we talked about, the Microsoft Band has 10 sensors in a small form factor. The SDK exposes access to those sensors in code. So you can, using the Microsoft Band client, you can actually subscribe to these sensor streams, as we call them. Once you subscribe to a sensor stream, the SDK will then invoke callbacks back into your code whenever there's new data available in those streams. Some of the data that you get back is going to be raw sensor data, and some of this is going to be curated data that has been transformed onto the band to be more meaningful, and that's the curated data that you get back. Let's take a look at some of the sensors or the sensor streams that we expose. So here's a table that talks about all the sensor streams that the Microsoft Band SDK exposes. I'm not going to talk about all of them, but the table actually shows the kind of sensor that is behind that stream, the kind of measurement, what the data that comes back is provided from that sensor, and what is the frequency of getting that data. So for example, if you look at the heart rate, the value that comes back is the number of beats per minute, which is the heart rate of the wearer. And it also gives you the reading quality, which means whether the heart rate is locked on or whether we're still in the process or the sensor is still in the process of acquiring that heart rate reading. And we provide that back in 1 hertz, which means once every second you get that data back. Some of the other sensors like accelerometer and gyroscope give you data more frequently, and they also provide you a way to actually change the frequency at which you want to get the data. A couple of things to remember. A phone must be connected when you're streaming. We're streaming over Bluetooth, of course. So if the Bluetooth connection is dropped, you know, your data will stop coming in. Some sensor will require user authorization. So if you're, you know, a flashlight application that silently tries to get the user's heart rate, for example, the user actually has to authorize that app to go in and authorize it to get the heart rate. There is some battery impact if you have long-running subscriptions because we're consuming Bluetooth both on the phone side and the band side, but if you're running sensors for many, many hours, you have to be careful that there will be some kind of a battery impact on those. So I promise that Tony is going to help us do some demos. So this is the first one of a series of demos. He's going to show us how, using the Microsoft Band SDK, you can create a band client and subscribe to a sensor.
Okay. So we'll start here in Visual Studio. Let me get a new project started. We're going to build a simple application here, and we'll start off just streaming the heart rate. So a good simple example of streaming some sensor data. We're going to do all the demos today in Visual Studio. I'll run this on a Windows phone we've got here. We do release our SDK for all of the major platforms. So if you're an Android or iOS developer, you'd be using our native SDK for your platform and using your favorite development environment. So we're going to start, and as I do the demo today, just because we've got a lot of ground to cover, I'm going to be dragging in some code snippets, so I'm not going to try to do a lot of typing on the fly just to help keep things moving here. So we'll be working with a phone app, so let's make that our startup project. And then the first thing I'll do is go grab the NuGet package for our SDK, and we'll get that installed here. And we'll just get the couple of dialogues here. There we go. Okay. Now let's go drop in just a little bit of simple UI here. So I'm just going to put a few controls on a simple simple grid here. Okay, so I've got a text field here where we're just going to put some status messages so we can see what's going on in the app. I've got a couple of buttons that we'll use to start and stop the streaming of the heart rate data. And then I've got another text block down here where we'll put the data as we get it back from the band. Okay, so that's our simple UI. Let's go over to the code here. And first I'm going to drop in some using statements. So you saw the namespaces Ali was mentioning earlier. So we've got the band, tiles, tile pages, and we'll come to back to some more of that later. And then the other really key thing is that band client. So I'm going to make a private member here on this class, and this band client is going to be essentially our portal into the functionality of the band, and we'll see how we get that set up here. So I'm going to do most of the logic here is just going to go right into our onNavigatedTo method. So I'm just going to remove those comments and drag in some code here. And the first thing that we want to do is just identify the bands that we've got paired. So we're going to enumerate the bands and then select one to talk to. One thing I'll just mention here, we're going to do all of the initialization here on the first load of this page. So if we come into here with a navigation mode other than new, we're just going to bail out. So we're just focusing on that one navigation mode. The other thing I need to do here is go make this async. Okay, so now you can see here we're going to the client manager. We're getting that singleton instance, and then we're just going to say get the bands and do this asynchronously. So that's going to enumerate all of the paired bands. Normally, you would only have one band paired with your device, but the SDK actually supports any number of bands that you might want to have paired. So for our demo purposes, we're just going to get the first one. So we'll say first or default here. And then if for some reason we didn't recognize a band or didn't find one paired, we would just set the status and bail out. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is actually make that connection to the band. So I'm going to set the status message before and after so we can see what's going on here. And then the key is that we're going to go back to that instance, the singleton instance on the band client manager, and just say connect. And we're going to actually give it the band that we identified previously. So now we've got our band connection. And then the next thing that we want to do is get set up to receive that heart rate information. And one of the things I'll show you here is how we deal with that authorization step that Ali was talking about. So I'm going to drag in a snippet of code, and what we'll look at is how we check to see if we already have authorization, and if not, how we go and ask the user to get their permission to receive their heart rate data. So we'll drag that in here. And the SDK remembers, so if you've asked the user once for their permission, we'll actually remember that, and so you don't have to ask the user every time. So the first thing that we're going to do, I must have dragged that into the wrong place. Okay. So the first thing that we're going to do is go to the sensor manager under our band client. So we're using that band client now to talk to the band. We're going to go to the heart rate sensor specifically, and then we're going to check the current consent setting. Okay, so we'll just switch on that. So if the user has previously declined or granted permission, then we have our answer and we're done. If this is the first time here, then we're actually going to go into the sensor manager again, heart rate, and now we're going to request consent. And so as we execute the app here in a moment, you'll see this is going to pop up some UI where we ask for the consent, and the user can either approve or disapprove that request. Okay, so once we get out of that switch statement, we've got our answer, and if the user has given us consent, then we want to go set up an event handler to respond to that information as it starts to come in. So again, we go back to the sensor manager, the heart rate sensor, and now we're going to set up a handler for this reading changed event, and it's going to be an asynchronous handler. And all we're going to do here is just go back to the main thread and set that that text field that we looked at where we wanted to show the heart rate information. And we're just going to format that using both the quality and the heart rate number. So we'll see whether we're still acquiring a lock or whether we've actually gotten locked onto the user's heart rate, and then we'll see what the value is. And then just for completeness here, if we didn't get consent, then we'll just note that in the status field. Now the only thing left here to do are put in some simple handlers for those buttons. So we had the start and stop buttons there on the screen that we saw. So when we start reading the heart rate, all we do is go back to the heart rate sensor and just say start reading async, and when we're done, we can say stop. So that's it. We're ready to start the app up. So I'll go select the device, and we'll fire that up. So that's going to build and deploy, and we'll see this come up over here on our phone in just a moment. I won't bother showing you the band under the screen here because we're not doing anything with the UI yet, so we won't see anything happening over here. So the app is coming up, and you see it's connecting. It's connected, and now we go right into this authorization. So I'll just scoot that up. So I'll do that, and now we're ready to start reading my heart rate, and we'll see how stressed out I am during the demo here. That's pretty good, 75, that's not bad. Things are under control. So if I wait a few seconds, we should see that go from acquiring to locked as it improves the confidence that it has. Okay, there we are, locked. Are we going up? Okay, it's going up a little bit. Still, I figured my benchmark today was if I can get to this point under 100, that's probably pretty good. Okay, so that's part one, and I'll turn it back over to Ali to tell you some more.
Thank you, Tony. So that was about sensors. As you saw, that getting data from the mics of band sensors does not allow you or does not require you to create anything on the mics of band. You can use your application on the phone, and it can just stream data from those sensors, and you can use that data however way you want it. But if you want to use the Microsoft band's display as an auxiliary display, you would want to create tiles on your band. Once you create the tiles, you want to send content into those tiles. So the Microsoft band SDK lets you create interactive tiles on the Microsoft band. So let's quickly talk about how to do that. Once you have a band client, and you're ready, and you're connected to your Microsoft band, your application can then go ahead and create one or more tiles. So all you need to do in order to create a tile is you need to have the tile GUID and specify a couple of icons that the tile uses to show up on the Microsoft band, and that's it. Additionally, if you want, your app can actually have, or your tile can have, up to 8 additional icons. Those icons will be used in pages. So what are these pages? When the user taps onto your tile, it goes into the content inside of that tile. That content is represented through what we call pages. A tile can have up to 8 pages. Each one of these pages has a viewport of 245 by 106 pixels. It's vertically scrollable, so your content can be scrolled inside of a single page vertically. When the user swipes horizontally, the user basically navigates between different pages. So you can have up to 8 pages. These pages, how do you create these pages? These pages can be created in 2 ways. One of the ways is to create them through generic messaging notifications. The other way is to create them using custom layouts. So we'll talk about both of those in a bit. Once you have a band client and you're connected to a band client, you can send notifications to a Microsoft band. there are three major types of notifications. The first one are messages that we just talked about in the previous slide. This is title and a body style notification. So you basically take a bank client, you send a message into your tile, it shows up with the title, with the body. The body is scrollable vertically, so that's a page with a very simple layout. You can have up to 8 messages sent. They're in the first in, first out queue. When you send the 9th message, the first one that you send is just going to drop off. So that way you can have a continuous stream of communication with the band from your applications. That's one form of notifications. Sometimes you want to send notifications which do not require you to show or persist inside of a tile. Those are called pop-up dialogues. When you send a dialog, it shows up onto the Microsoft band. Once the user dismisses the dialog goes away, and the user basically never sees that again. So that's just to inform the user of something that has immediately happened, and once it's gone, it's gone forever. Sometimes it's even useful to send notifications without any UI. So those are vibration alerts that you can use. The SDK allows you to send a predefined set of vibration types to inform the user of some feedback that you want to give them, or some activity, or if you want to just get their attention without any UI. So right on the right-hand side, you can see some example of how this content shows up. The other way to create pages inside of your tiles is through custom layouts. So with messages, all you get is a title and a body, and the body has up to 160 characters, and it scrolls, and that's it. But if you want fine-grained control of where the content shows up, and if you want to show icons and images and buttons, you want to use the custom layouts. So when you create a Microsoft band tile, you can register up to 5 layouts. Each one of these layouts is basically a tree. It's an object model where you have container elements. Within those container elements, you can have other container elements, or you could have content primitive elements that contain content. At the end of all of this, the container elements do not show up on the UI. The content elements show up. The content elements that you have, the table right here shows you the container elements and the primitive elements. The container elements, you can have flow panels, scroll flow panel, filled panels, and the content elements could be text, they could be buttons, could be barcodes, it could be icons. All of these elements support positioning, formatting, and styling. So, you know, you can actually position each one of these elements onto the page exactly where you want them to be. Here's a couple of examples on the right-hand side bottom. These are built-in layouts that we use for some of the content that we show inside of the Microsoft band. Once you have a layout, then you can use that layout to create a page and send that page over to the Microsoft band. So Microsoft band actually has an addressing schema where every tile actually has its GUID. Every page inside of the tile has its own GUID. And within the page, every single element has its own element ID. So essentially, when you have a tile GUID, you can create a page using a given layout. And once you have a layout, you can specify the elements, each one of the elements, and the value of the content that you want to show for those elements, and that's how you create a page. So if a layout had 3 text lines and an icon, all you have to do is say, okay, I'm going to use this layout, and then you specify your 3 text lines, whatever lines you want to show up. You specify the index of the icon, which is one of the 10 index that of the icons that you've created before, and then you have a page. Once you have a page, you add a page to your tile by specifying a page GUID. If a page GUID already exists inside of your tile, you're essentially updating the contents of that page inline. So if I sent a page before, but I now want to update that page, I will create a new page with the same GUID and send that page over. It'll update the contents of that page. If a GUID is a new one, that means another page will get added to your tile. Again, you can have up to 8 pages. Once you send the 9th page, it's going to push the page, the very first page out of the view, so you'll only have 8 pages. When you have pages, you can put, like I said, you can put buttons on these pages, so you would want to know when the user is interacting with those tiles. So you can receive events back using the SDK from these pages. The SDK allows you to actually receive 3 different major kinds of events that you can subscribe to. These are pretty self-explanatory by the names. When the user opens your tile, you get a notification back that says the user has entered your tile. When the user exits your tile, you will get a notification back into your code saying the user has left your tile. Once the user is inside of your tile and he presses any of the buttons, the code on your code will get events with the event of button pressed, with the ID of the element ID of the button that was pressed inside of a particular page. So you'll know exactly which button is pressed. A couple of things to remember here. Events are handled slightly differently per platform, and that's kind of the limitation that we have to work with when you're working across platforms. So on Android, for example, we use broadcast intents. What that means is your app can be invoked even when it's not running because the app has a registered intent, and our service can actually call that intent and get your code to execute. on iOS, we use Bluetooth Low Energy custom characteristic. Essentially, that gives us a little more flexibility when the app is not in the foreground. Even if it is in the background, as long as the app has an active connection to the band, you can actually invoke this, the callbacks. On Windows, we use direct communications, which means that the app code has to be actively running in order to receive the callbacks. If the app code is not running and some activity has happened on the band, right now, there is no way for us to invoke a callback onto the running app. However, with Windows 10 Universal Windows Platform, we have this thing called App Services. Those App Services will allow non-running applications, just like on Android, to be able to invoke from the Microsoft band. So let's quickly hand over back to Tony, and he's going to show us how, using the Microsoft band SDK, you can create interactive tiles on the Microsoft band.
Oops, wrong one. Okay, so we're going to go back to the same app, and we'll just pick up where we left off. And what we're going to do now is create a custom tile. And within our tile, we're going to create one page with custom layout. And on that page, we're going to put two buttons. So I'm going to use a flow panel with a horizontal orientation. And then we'll just put one button and another button. And we'll put an off label in one and an on label in the other one. And then we'll see how we can get events back from those. So I'm going to drag in a helper method here that's going to do most of the work for us. Okay, and there's a lot of code here, a little more code than we've looked at so far, but I'll walk through this whole thing. The first thing to note is that this code is designed to work whether it's the first or subsequent times through, so you'll see that pop up in the logic here. The first thing we do is establish the GUIDs for the tile and the page. The next thing we want to do is go to the tile manager and get our current set of tiles. Now, this is filtered by app, so this is not looking at all of the custom tiles that have been added. This is just the ones that I've added myself. So we could have added multiple tiles. In this demo, we're only adding one. And so what I want to do here is just see, have we already added the tile to this band or not? Okay. So again, we're going to call first or default. If we get null back in the tile, that means we have no tile yet. So we're going to go construct the tile and then send it to the band. So we'll walk through that here. So the first thing we're going to do is make a flow panel that we can put those buttons inside. Okay, so we're constructing that. We give it an element ID 0. We're setting the rectangle to use the full usable area on the tile. Our orientation is horizontal, and we want to center that. Okay, so now we can go start to put some elements within that flow panel. So we'll go to our elements collection, and we'll add a text button. And we'll give it a new element ID 1. We'll set a width here. And then we're going to set what color we want it to be when that's pressed. And you can see one thing here, we've got an extension method here on the color object so that we can convert that to a suitable object for use with the band. So we'll skip down here. You'll see we're adding a second button, give it a new element ID, but basically the same thing going on there. So now we're going to make our page layout, and then we're going to set as the root object on the layout, that's just going to be that flow panel that we made up above. So now we've got our layout. Let's go make our tile itself. So we're going to make a band tile. We'll give it our tile GUID. And the first thing we want to do is give it a name. So the name is important because when the user goes to the Microsoft Health app and they go into the Manage Tiles section on there, what you'll see is at the bottom, after all of the first-party tiles, you'll see a list of third-party tiles. And this is how your tile will be identified in that list. Okay. And then we're going to set up the two icons that we want to use for that. Okay, so now we've got our tile object. It's fully made. It's got its layout. We've added the layout here, and now we can go to the tile manager and just say add tile. Okay, and that's what's really, really doing the work to set that up. Okay. Now, so that was all work that we wanted to do the very first time when we didn't have that tile there yet at all. on every time that we run through this code, we want to go set up that page and provide the page its content. So you noticed in the layout, we didn't have anything about the labels on those buttons. So this is where that comes in. So we're going to go to the tile manager again, call set pages async. We've got our tile GUID. Now we're going to make a new page data object. And we say, here's the GUID. This says which page we're talking about. Zero says, I want to use the first layout. We only had one layout. So we're using that layout. That's just the index. And now we want to pass a couple of objects that provide the content for the elements on there. Okay, so this is where we get to set those labels. So that's all the work that we need to do to create that tile. Now let's go back up into our onNavigatedTo method, and let's just flesh that out with some code to first create or initialize that tile. So that's the code that we just looked at. Now we're going to go set up our event handlers. So we've got the tile opened, tile closed, and tile button pressed events. So for each one of those, we're just going to put a message into that status area that that we were using before. And for the button event, we're also going to reach into our args and get the element ID so we can see which button we're pressing. Okay, and then there's just one more thing we need to do. Go add the icons here. So I'll just go grab those. Add those to our project, and we're ready to go build that. Now you notice as the application comes up this time, we won't have to ask the user for the heart rate permission because we did that already. So we'll see it skipping that step this time. And we get now we get this dialogue. So we always ask the user permission to add a tile. The icon is provided here so they can get a sense for what application is asking to do this. And you see the name of the tile appearing there, so I'll give permission. And you see on the band it's syncing. So we're pushing the icons for the tile, the layout, all that information is coming down here. And if I scroll to the far right, okay, the smiley face, that's my tile icon. And as I open this up, we'll see an open event here, and we'll also see our custom content. So we've got our on-off buttons, and we saw the tile open event. And as I press these, we'll see the button events coming in, and then we'll see the tile closed. So now you can see, you know, we've kind of got all the tools we need in our toolbox now to start making some really, really more compelling scenarios with the band. And, you know, as I was finishing up this demo at work, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, we've showed you how to put all this together, but, you know, it's a little dry. It's text on a display here. We're just pressing some buttons. And I thought it would be fun to do something a little more interesting with this. So I emailed some folks in the IoT space and said, hey, you know, what would be a good gadget we could maybe, you know, hook up to this and do something with? And I learned about some of the work that we were doing with the folks from Insteon. So there's an all-join talk going on right now, unfortunately, where a lot of the Insteon folks are. But what I learned is that with their new hub, this is their new home automation hub 2, they have a cloud API, the Insteon API. Turns out that's really easy to use. So in just a couple of hours with some sample code that the Insteon folks sent me, what I did was take that sample app and just extend it a little bit. So I wrote a little client wrapper for their API. I took the layout that we just looked at and I just added a text field on the top of it. And then I added some code to go reach out to my home automation network. And I've got two Insteon switch modules here on stage. So I'll fire up this app. And now we're going to authenticate with Insteon. So I've got the credentials here for the network that I set up. And we're connected to the band. I'll go log in to Insteon. And you can see it found both of my switches. And it knows the name. So it's actually enumerating over the devices that we got back. We've got the name. And we pushed those device names down to two tiles or two pages behind my tile here. So you can see I've got my living room light and my bedroom light. And so that was all content that came dynamically through calling Insteon. So if I turn this on, oh, there's one light. Go and Sure. There's the other one. So, demo success.
One thing Tony didn't talk about was his wife almost left him because he was turning on the lights in his bedroom on and off from his office throughout the day.
It creeped her out a little bit, yeah.
Okay, so that was creating tiles and creating buttons and getting interactive stuff back from the Microsoft band. A couple of things that we didn't talk about today in the interest of time while talking about the SDK is the Microsoft band SDK also allows you to personalize and customize the Microsoft band. The couple of things that we do allow you to customize are the mutile image and the theme color for the Microsoft band scheme. What is the mutile? The mutile is the main tile that shows up when you go into the Microsoft band. When the user powers on the Microsoft band, that's the first tile that you see. So using the Microsoft band SDK, you can actually get that mutile. You can also set it to anything you like. And a lot of you probably are already using apps that are actually doing this. Another thing is Microsoft band has 6 different colors that comprise the Microsoft band theme. Using the SDK, you can actually change that theme, and you can change the look and feel of the Microsoft band for your users. The same theme is used for your application tiles. So if you want to change the theme of your particular tile and be different from the main theme, you can use the same band theme class to do that. So just to recap, Microsoft band SDK, we saw today that you can use the Microsoft band SDK to access sensors. You can use the Microsoft band SDK to create your own tiles and send data and get events back from those. And lastly, we talked about how you can personalize the Microsoft band by using the SDK. Microsoft Band SDK is currently available on developer.microsoftband.com. It's available on Windows, Android, and iOS. It's in a preview, but we're excited to bring it to you in a full release very soon. If you're not a developer who likes to develop for all different platforms and you instead use Xamarin, we have Xamarin bindings for all of the SDK functionality. We have a portable class library that you can use, and you can just target one set of APIs and generate apps for all three platforms. So that was all about the Microsoft Band SDK and how you can write applications that can communicate with the Microsoft Band SDK. But what if you're one of those developers who does not like to write 3 apps or who doesn't want to write apps for the mobile platforms at all? What if you have a service, or what if you have someone who has content hosted on the internet and you want to bring that content onto the Microsoft Band? Is it really necessary to actually have an application running on a phone? In the beginning, I said you have to have an application running. While that is true, I never said that it has to be an application that you have to write. So today, we are very excited to talk about and give you an early look into this thing that we're working on, which is what we call web-based Microsoft Band tiles. What essentially these are tiles that exist on your Microsoft Band, and they are powered by the web. The way we do it is the Microsoft Band is always accompanied by Microsoft Health app. The Microsoft Health app is present on all the platforms that you're running your Microsoft Band or you're pairing your Microsoft Band with. The Microsoft Health app allows the Microsoft Band to be connected to the internet. So we thought, why not use the power of the Microsoft Health and use the internet connectivity that's provided by the Microsoft Health app and allow the Microsoft Band to get content from the internet? I thought about many different ways in which you could, you know, talk about this, but reality is the easiest way I could think of was, imagine you have favorites on your web page, or you have an RSS feed that you really like to go and you want to see new content on it every day. So this is your way of enabling Microsoft Band to actually reach out and get content from the internet. So what you have to do is all you have to specify is the source of the content, and you have to specify the format in which you want that content to show up on the Microsoft Band, and let the Microsoft Health app connect the dots and do the rest for you. So essentially, it really brings what I like to call a tiny browser on the Microsoft Band. Now, before everyone freaks out, this is not Project Mini Spartan or anything like that. This is just a declarative way of bringing content from the internet without having to write any logic on any of the platforms for you. So why you would want to do this? It lowers the barrier to entry of using Microsoft Band and leveraging the power of Microsoft Band dramatically. You don't have to write any apps. You don't have to know any code. You don't have to know Objective-C, Java, C#. All you need to do is just understand some markup languages, and you should be good to go. Another way is it's simple and portable. You have your content already on the internet. You're just bringing it to a new surface. So that's very, very powerful. And again, this is one more way of you reaching your users and engaging them into your content that you create. Who would be interesting in doing this? Developers who already have content, and they want to light up that content onto the Microsoft Band. This is going to be a powerful tool for them. And also enthusiasts who like and who know exactly what content they want. Maybe they don't own that content, but they still want to see that content on the Microsoft Band. This is going to be a tool that is going to be very powerful for them. Quickly, let me talk about what the web tile experience looks like. So as a web tile author, the first thing you would do is you would author your tile. What does that authoring mean? Authoring means all you have to specify is, where is this data source that you're interested in? What are the layouts that you are interested in? And how do you want that data source to show up in that layout? And that's what we call data binding. So you have a data that's coming from the internet, you have a layout that you've created, and you want that layout to somehow show that content. You basically bind some of the parts of that content using that layout, and it'll show up on the Microsoft band. Once you've authored your tile, you can publish it, you can host it, you can store it however you want it. You can share it with people. You can use the social media, email, or just send URLs to share this content. And then let the Microsoft Health app do the rest of the work for you. And by the rest of the work, I mean Microsoft Health app takes care of installing. It also takes care of managing. And it makes sure that the data coming in into your tile is always fresh and is refreshed periodically. So what is this web tile package that I keep mentioning? It's basically a zip file format that we're exploring. It has a couple of mandatory things that you have to have, a couple of optional things that you can add. The mandatory things are the manifest file. This is the file that talks about everything that you need to create a tile on the Microsoft band. So it describes your tile. It also tells you where the data source for that tile is coming from. It also contains the data bindings for the payload, so you know this is the data I want to show and this is how I want to show it. Another thing that you want is you want the image files because you're creating a tile on Microsoft band. It has to have icons. Those are icons for the images. If you want finer grain controls, optionally you could have custom layouts, so you can have more granular control of how the content shows up. You could use some of the built-in layouts like a title and body or some basic layouts that we ship, or you can have your own custom layouts. And in the future, you can imagine that you can have JavaScript files which can be used to do the event handling for you. And the Microsoft Health app can actually host that on your behalf and basically do all the work for you. This is a concept that is much more easily understood once you see code. So since this is the developer audience, I'm going to start talking less and let Tony do a little more of the demo.
So when we started thinking about this idea, a lot of our thinking was kind of spurred on by some conversations we were having with Scott Hanselman, who you saw earlier today in the keynote doing some Azure demos, and I think he's here in the talk as well. And he had a really compelling scenario that we've kind of used to drive our thinking on this. Scott is diabetic, and he wears a blood glucose monitor that is monitoring his blood glucose levels 24/7. Now that monitor is connected to a device or a phone, I think, that pushes that up to Azure. And so this is Scott's live blood glucose data. And Scott had a band for a while when we first talked to him a few months ago. And he said what he would really love is to be able to get this same information right on his band and have it be, you know, kind of constantly refreshed and current. So instead of pulling a phone out of his pocket and going to look at that, he's just got it in a really, really convenient way right there on his wrist. So we took that idea and we've kind of built our initial demo around that. So what I'll do is go look at a simple web tile that will do that for us. So this is a directory where we're building the tile, so we're going to zip this up in a moment, but we've got an icons directory here. You can see we've got a couple of, you know, blood droplet-like icons, and we've got our manifest. And so let's go look at the manifest. And I'll go up to the top here. And you can see there's some, you know, kind of boilerplate information that you'd expect to see here. We've got a manifest version. We've got a name for the tile, a longer description that we might want to show in a gallery if we were, you know, going to collect a bunch of tiles together and show them to users. Some version information, author and contact information. And then we've got pointers to those icons. So we've got an app icon that we might use on the phone or a desktop to give us a nice, rich representation of our tile. And then we've got, you know, the actual 46 by 46 tile that we want to use on the band itself. Okay. Now the next thing that we have here is a section where we talk about resources. So as Ali was saying, this is where we talk about what we're going to reach out to the web and draw information from. And you can see it's an array of objects, so we could actually have multiple resources that we're drawing from. In this case, we have one. And what we're going to do is go up to Scott's Azure site. He's got a site there that we can just do a get on, and what we'll get back is a JSON payload with the information about his current blood glucose status. Now, the style member here is interesting. We're thinking about a number of different scenarios here. So Ali was talking about RSS feeds, for example. So you might want to have a web tile where you're actually looking for new feed items to come in and just pulling off those new feed items. In this case, in Scott's case, what we have is a single static payload that's going to be changing. I mean, static in its format, but the contents of that are going to be changing. So we're calling that a simple style. But we envision a number of different styles to make it really, really easy to deal with common internet content scenarios. So the next thing we want to do is reach in and just pluck out the fields of that data that we're interested in. So what we're going to do is just set up a binding from a name that we can use internally here in the manifest to an actual path into the content. So here we're just, you know, creating a JSON style expression. There's a top level object BGS, there's an array, and then this SGV field is what's going to give us the current reading out of there. So similarly for the other fields here, there's a timestamp that will tell us, you know, when was this reading collected. So this gives us the information that we need to populate our tile. So now the second half of that is how do we actually get that content down onto the page? So we've got the pages section here, and again, you can see it's an array of objects, so we could have multiple pages, so we could be taking content from the web and then spreading that across as many pages as we like. In this case, we've got one page, and we're going to use a built-in layout. So we've got a built-in layout that our app just understands natively and will document a set of these. In this case, what we're going to do is put, you know, the thing that Scott cares about most is what is my current blood glucose level, so we'll make that nice and big on the left side of the tile, and then we'll show some of this other information in smaller text fields to the right. So we know the element ID of this is 1, and then what we'll do is set the value just by using this string substitution syntax that we've got here. So double curly says I want to go back to that name current that I bound earlier and just insert that here. We'll do the same thing for the direction, which, you know, gives us a general trend indication. Then we've got the delta, and now we're going to take, you know, the delta information that we got back from the web, but also add some units of measurement here. And then finally, for the updated, this one's a little interesting. So we've got some static text here. We're referring back to the timestamp. But then we've got a helper here that says, I want to take that Unix-style timestamp and convert it to a human-friendly short time format. So we'll have some set of these to, again, help you deal with really common scenarios for data transformations that you might want to do. So that's it. It's really, you can think of it as kind of a transducer between content on the web and the format that I want to see it in on my band. So I'll just zip these up, and I'll call this. And then I'll talk a little bit about this extension. So I'm changing the extension to WebTile. So we have two mechanisms in the Microsoft Health app that help make this installation process of these WebTiles really seamless. So we're registering for the WebTile file suffix. We also are registering for a custom URL scheme. So you'll be able to create pages that maybe have a little band icon, and you know, you can make it easy for your users to go grab the content that you're providing to them, put it on their band just by using a custom URL scheme that refers to your web tile. So what I'm going to do is I've made a OneDrive folder where I'm working on authoring these things and testing, and so I'm just going to copy this over to a shortcut here I've got for that OneDrive folder. Okay, so now we'll move over to the phone, and I've got that same folder pinned to my start screen here, so I'll open that up. Okay, and there's my web tile, and because we registered for that file suffix, I can just open that, and we launch right into Microsoft Health, and it's going to go read the manifest now, get the information from that, And we'll see, we'll get that same kind of, I knew things were going too well. Hang on, let me just restart that. Yeah, my heart rate. I'm sure my heart rate is going to go. It's a good thing we don't have that showing now. It's
check your heart rate.
Okay, it's talking to the band. Okay. Well, while we're in here, I'll show you. There's the third-party tile list that we saw before. So the build demo is the app that we added, and you can see the Insteon demo. So let's come back out of here. And let's try that one more time. Sorry, Ali. This worked mere minutes ago.
Yeah, maybe you have the tile. Try and remove the tile.
Which
on
tile?
On the band?
No, it's not on the band. No. Let me just zip that up one more time.
While Tony is doing that...
Yeah, you go ahead.
If it's not obvious, this is a technology that we are just working on right now. We would love to get your feedback on this. There is a lot of creativity that we get from people's feedback, from developers' feedback. This is one of those places where you can actually have your voices heard. So please, I'm going to talk about the ways in which you can contact us. But feel free after the session, or even after we'll be in the Windows Insider Lounge, you can talk to us there or in the expert zone. Or afterwards, you can send an email to us, and we'll try to incorporate your feedback into this. Maybe one of the ways is going to be make the installation work better. So, if you have any ideas.
We could go ahead and start taking questions if you want while I keep trying to get this going.
Let's give it a, yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start taking questions.
Hold on, before that.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so. Trust me, that works. And after that works, maybe Tony's going to fix it in the time that we have. You will be able to see a web tile on your band, which is getting content, live content from the internet, from the source that Scott has. It's a very powerful tool. It doesn't require you to do any application development, no need to submit to any store or anything like that. Just quickly brings powerful content onto the Microsoft band. So we looked at Microsoft Band SDK, which directly interfaces with the Microsoft Band. Then we talked about how you can use Microsoft Health, the applications, to power some of the content onto the Microsoft Band. We also have this thing in the cloud that we call the Microsoft Health Service. So a lot of people ask about what about that thing? So when we launched the Microsoft Health, we had some key partnership with some third-party services, like Runkeeper, MapMyFitness, and more recently, Strava and MapMyRide. But we want to be more open. Most of these partnerships were done with deep collaboration between Microsoft and these third parties. We exchange data through the service called Data Exchange. But we want to be more open and allow third-party developers and our users to actually share their data collected by Microsoft Health with other apps and services. This way, you know, people who already have existing relationship with third-party services, they can actually integrate all of the data and make sure that it shows up in one place or it shows up everywhere where they want to see this. So we are very excited, and we're working on building Microsoft Health APIs that are going to allow third-party developers to do that. What will these APIs are going to be open OAuth based on open platforms. These are going to be RESTful APIs that are going to allow third-party developers to enhance the experience of their apps and services with the rich fitness content coming from Microsoft Health. So this will allow those applications and services to track the fitness of their users more comprehensively. Additionally, if you have a device that collects sensor data, you will have an opportunity to take that data and send it over and integrate it with all the other cool data that is collected in Microsoft Band and Health. Once we have that ecosystem in place, if you're writing an app and service and you're targeting Microsoft Health, you will not only appeal to the users of Microsoft Health, but you would also appeal to all of the users of all the partners that are there of Microsoft Health. So quickly take a look at some of the health APIs that we're going to expose. Things like user profile information, once you integrate with Microsoft Health, you will know the basic user profile information of the Microsoft Health users. you will get some historical sensor data. So with the SDK, you can get real-time sensor data. With the health APIs, you can actually get, given a time span, you can get historical sensor data back. You will also be able to get summaries, hourly, weekly, and daily or monthly summaries of various things like steps, distance, calories, heart rate, et cetera. In addition, all the activities that your users do, run, bike, workout, guided workouts, you will be able to get access to those. And now you can use that data to enrich the experience of your applications with all of the fitness data that is coming from Microsoft Health. Additional thing would be sleep tracking. You will get to know what the sleep patterns are for those users once they choose to share that data with you. And also, if they have any other connected devices, you will also be able to get to know about those devices. So let me just put up a summary slide. So we talked about how you can extend the experience of your app using the Microsoft Band SDK. Then we talked about how you can bring your web content to life on Microsoft Band using the Microsoft Health app. And last and not least, we talked about how you can enrich your apps and services with data from Microsoft Health Service. We are very excited to bring all of these things to you very soon, and we are really, really hopeful that you'll give us some feedback and get us to make this even better in the future. Here are some of the resources. You can get the SDK from developer.microsoftband.com. I talked about that. It has some great samples. It has some good documentation. You can go and develop starting right now. You also, the Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health websites where you can get to know more about the products. We have a conversation blog called Lumia Conversations. This is where you should go to get all the new news and announcements about Microsoft Band and Microsoft Health. And last, I promise you, I'll give you an alias where you can contact us. So healthms@microsoft.com. That's if you have any SD questions, any feedback, anything you want to tell us, that's the alias that you want to go at. Another slide that has been sneaked in. Please evaluate the session. I don't know how it's done. I'm sure you guys have more information on that, but please, your feedback is valuable. It's gonna make sure that I get a chance to talk to you next year if you guys like me. Thank you so much for being here. I know this was the first session. You all came over. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And now we will take some questions. Unless, no? All right, we'll take some questions. Thank you. Thank you. Please come to the microphones. Yes. Yes, so we are very, very aware of the fact that Microsoft has different offerings. So if you really dig in, these offerings are offering different things. We do have a roadmap on converging together and coming up with something that is one holistic Microsoft Health app. Yes. Yes, please. So there is no theoretical limit. I don't know how the phones behave if you have multiple things.
I think you would hit whatever Bluetooth limits you'd run into on the device. I don't think the SDK has any
limits. I think
limits
the Bluetooth,
itself.
Yeah, link keys, there might be a certain number of keys that the phone can store. Once you exceed that limit, then you will probably not be able to pair any other bands.
Yes.
Yes, please. The question is, what is the Unicode support for the band? The band does support Unicode, but it doesn't support Chinese, Japanese, or other languages. That's something that we are looking into enabling. Well, the band on the firmware, it does support it. It's a matter of localizing all of the apps, and that's definitely something that we are looking into, yes. I don't know about that. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
From this phone, does it have to be that the app has just code running, or does the app literally have to be the foreground device screen open?
If you can run your app in the background, there are some techniques and tricks to make that happen. You don't have to be in the foreground in those cases.
Okay.
So, like if you're a music application, for example, you can run as a music background task, and at that point you are actually connected all the time. But if you're not, Windows Phone is very aggressive in suspending apps, and once the code goes away, we can't do anything about that. Yes, sir.
Is there some way to test
There is no simulator right now. We've gotten that feedback many times where people say you have a skin temperature sensor. How do I simulate different temperatures? We're looking into enabling something like that soon, yes. But right now, there isn't any. Yes, sir. Sorry, the question is, how are the calories computed? Oh, is it a sensor or is it something that we curate? So the calories are basically calculated on the firmware. So using your height, weight, age, gender, and also your heart rate all throughout the day. So that's something that's a proprietary algorithm that we have on the firmware that does that. There is no sensor that tells us the calories. So again, that's a proprietary algorithm that we worked on. And it's not something, there is no sensor that tells us if you're restfully asleep. Again, it's a matter of how much you're moving, what is your, if your heart rate is going all the way down to your resting heart rate, that's how we figure it out. If I can send you more information, our algorithms team would love to share some of that information. Yes.
So what about apps that aren't written in .NET? Because currently your SDK only works with those.
No, so the SDK works across all platforms. So, sorry?
On Windows.
Yes, so if you're on Windows, you will have to be a runtime application to be able to use that.
Yeah, if you're a JavaScript
or C++ runtime, currently the SDK will not work on those, unless you have some ways of wrapping a unmanaged to a managed interface.
Are you going to make an ORG component
for your SDK? Tony, do you know if we have a...
I don't know of any plans.
Yeah, I don't know of any plans right now.
I think we're over time.